Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
One time, three times?
No, several false starts.
Several instances? Most people would say times, but Robert is really smart.
Oh my
God. He says words like instances. What the fuck's an instant? Right here on We're Last of Thoughts. We are very privileged to have the one, the only, and the privileged Mr. Roberto Matta. Robert, now we have the music more under control. Under my control.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming to us from Hollywood. I don't know if it's West, Est, or Central, but Mr. Roberto Matta, hello.
I'm glad that you brought that up. First of all, hi, Joe. Hello. I saw someone on my favorite dating app, Grindr, say that they lived in East West Hollywood, which I think that I understand exactly what they mean. But at that point, I think the East and West cancel out and just say you're in Hollywood, geographically speaking.
Okay. If I had to guess, knowing Los Angeles, okay, if I had to guess, I would say East West West Hollywood is like that area of like on Melrose, by La Brea and Melrose.
Well, isn't La Brea the marker that all native LA people say is that's what divides West Hollywood from Hollywood?
Yeah. So if you live by that Target, by that
the Gateway
Harpo Studios area, wouldn't that kind of be like maybe off like Poinsettia?
Sure. And I'm not too far from there, but that is the eastern side of West Hollywood. It's just the words sound silly. For sure.
But you know what? To an Angelino, though, it would be helpful if you're on Grindr, because I'll tell you why. Because let's say you live in Hollywood or somewhere more accessible, and you're like, I don't know if I want to go all the way into fucking West Hollywood.
Oh,
but
for
if
sure.
You say East West Hollywood, you're like, oh, I could do that. All right. That's doable.
I don't travel more than 2,500 feet away.
Yeah.
Why would
I? So maybe that's... But you're right. They should just say Hollywood at that point.
Well, you know, everyone loves to hear us talk about LA and West Hollywood and Grindr.
You know what? No one's ever complained about it.
The way that you make it seems as though anytime it comes out of my mouth, it's, you know, the real friends of WeHo all over again.
Well, here's why. Because this is the way I feel. Personally, the way I feel is that I know you're going to argue with me on this, but I feel you are one of those WeHo gays who say you're not a WeHo gay. It's like because the truth is, if you asked anybody in WeHo, any WeHo gay, that no one's you would there was a population of 10 people, you know,
that are self-identified WeHo gays.
Yes.
Yeah, I made that quip a while back. And yes, I've lived in WeHo. It'll be 10 years in June. But I don't do the whole like insta-gay circuit, you know, look at me, I'm so sceney with all my, you know, hot guys in tank tops sort of moments. To me, that's more of a WeHo gay.
What about that meme, not a meme, that TikTok that went viral, I know I sent it to you and Christian, of that guy in WeHo who is not even dressed up, and they asked him about something. He was like, don't come here if you're not going to be dressed up. And meanwhile, everybody was ripping him to shreds about what he was wearing.
Well, he kind of asked for it.
I mean, that clearly would be, that guy would be a clearly self-identified WeHo gay.
No, I think he is a WeHo wannabe.
Wow. So this is something a WeHo gay would say, is that he's
no,
a WeHo
I'm saying
wannabe.
That he thinks that he is the, what did you put in everyone's minds earlier? The walk of the cock.
Oh, the cock of the walk?
The cock of the walk. Yeah, he thinks that he is the cunty WeHo gay that everyone's afraid of, when really it's just like, sit down, little boy, no one cares.
Yeah.
I don't think a real WeHo gay, well, actually, I guess a real WeHo gay would be insecure about it. Who knows, girl? It's.
I think that here's the deal. This is what I truly think. I think there's a real WeHo gay and then there's a not real WeHo gay. Hear me out. And I think you're hitting on this. I think the person that they think is a WeHo gay is not really a WeHo gay. Hear me out, Robert.
I'm listening.
I feel, you know, Los Angeles has some of the most beautiful people on the planet here. Not because that's just there's something in the water. It's just this is where they come because New York and LA are where the modeling agencies are and show business and all that, right?
Sure.
And I think there are truly beautiful people. And then I think that I'm just thinking this out loud, but I think the real WeHo gays are the rich old white men mm-hmm. who pick up on these really beautiful gay men who hang out with these rich old white men. And that's the real WeHo gay.
Like okay. The kind that's not as public facing because you yes. have to be invited to the private pool yes. parties and Hills parties.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a whole scene that's not even present and they yeah. don't want to be known, right?
Well, they do love to post their Insta stories.
Yes. Right. But like, for instance, I always think about like David Geffen and his young former porn star. Are they married now? Boyfriend or whatever?
I don't follow. I don't know.
And then you have the ones we're talking about. What I talk about is the people who are like the mean gays. You can get really meta here because I have a thing where I think that the comedians who are doing the mean gays characters are pretending to this is awful, but also there's a pick me vibe to the way that they're doing these mean gay characters. But those characters do exist. And I feel it's aspirational that they want to be like them. Does that make any sense what I'm saying?
It does. Yeah.
It doesn't really I don't really speak extemporaneously very well. So.
Oh, no. It's just your job to do so.
Yeah. But sometimes I think those things out before I say them. Not necessarily here. But.
Doesn't that sound familiar?
But so like I think. Now, I don't think you're one of those people. I do think you're a nice person and I've met your friends and they're nice people. So I don't really know what category to put you guys in, even though I do think you are in some sort of WeHo scene. I'm not the Jane Goodall of the WeHo scene. So I wouldn't have a necessary category for it.
Well, quickly, one of my favorite things about that is that there, for some reason, there are so many Jane Goodall billboards like all around WeHo, and ever since Nymphia's Jane Goodall thing, I'm like, why am I having to deal with like just Jane Goodall being thrown in my face all the time? Doesn't make any sense. But
is she otherwise, living in Los Angeles now or something? Because
I didn't even know she was living at all. I thought that she died ages ago.
I know someone who works in sort of like the nonprofit, good, you know, they're a housewife who is a rich housewife, and so she's in that world.
Yeah.
The philanthropist world. And so she's posted, you know, Instagram posts of her with Jane Goodall in Los Angeles several times. Uh-huh. So it makes me think she's here for some reason. I don't know why.
Maybe. But maybe now yeah. it's just going to be like Bader Meinhof phenomenon where we just, now that you've heard about it, you'll see it everywhere.
Is that the name of that phenomenon? I just called it, oh, now that I heard about it, I see it everywhere.
I might mispronounce it. I don't know. I don't speak German, but or Austrian. I don't know what language that is. But what was the second point about WeHo? Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that having been here more or less 10 years, the vast majority of people who have also been around 10 years, I recognize them. They recognize me. We see each other on the apps. We see each other at the bars. I guess there is a familiarity there. And therefore, yeah, I guess I'm a part of the scene in that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It's weird. Too many definitions for the same word, I think.
You know, RuPaul's also a WeHo gay, but would you ever classify RuPaul as a WeHo gay?
I don't know, because that's a part of it. Is I would want to say that RuPaul was an Atlanta gay and then went to New York, got chewed up and spit out. But then, and if that's where you're socialized as a gay, then is that where you are? Because if that's the case, then I'm technically a Castro gay, because that's where I grew up as a little faggot.
Do you miss the Castro?
No.
How would you say that? What are the differences between the Castro and San Francisco?
The conversations that are being held, you know, it's pretty by the by, but in the cash flow, you're always going to have to listen about someone's new app idea or your standard Bay Area sort of content versus LA, of course. Like yesterday, I went to the bars to watch the Oscars, so guess what everyone was fucking talking about? Emma Stone and Lily Gladstone. That was my fault for going out on Oscars night, but my friends were in town, so party.
What is your take on that?
I don't really have a developed one because I don't really watch a lot of Oscar movies. You know, I work in entertainment, but I've never had a particular passion for the film side of it. Apart from, you know, like, I love Jurassic Park, but what does that have to do with anything? Whereas a lot of LA people are so deeply passionate and their careers are entwined in this sort of stuff. So I feel like it's, I just kind of sit there sometimes as a conduit and have to listen to everyone spill all their thoughts about it while I just get to nod and smile.
It's weird because leading up to the Oscars, I did see all the movies. And I was of the, oh, well, Lily Gladstone's going to win it. But I would see an argument for Emma Stone because what she did was so difficult. It was so hard what she did. And so I was surprised Lily Gladstone didn't win. But I was like, it's one of these things where I don't know if the general public gets it. But Emma Stone sort of deserved that award for her performance. And so I know people are mad about Lily Gladstone. And she did a great job too. And she would have deserved it if she won as well. But I don't think we should take anything away from Emma Stone. Speaking of performances.
And who doesn't like Emma Stone?
Lily Gladstone. Speaking of performances, let's talk about RuPaul.
I've heard of this woman.
She's been in the news. There was a big New Yorker article about her that came out a week or two ago, written by, you know what? I talked about this last time, how I don't like, Tom Daly, because I can't stand fucking Dustin Lance Black. And it's the same thing here with the Ronan Farrow, is that I don't like him because he's like dating or married to that guy John Lovett from Pod Save America, and I cannot stand that faggot. Literally cannot, like, nails on a chalkboard John Lovett is to me.
So you hate by association?
Yes. So I don't hate Ronan Farrow. It's just more like, well, because he dates him or is married to this guy that I don't like, I have a negative opinion of him, but I have no reason to have a negative opinion of him, really. But he wrote this article about RuPaul, and I just have this opinion that I shared somewhere, maybe it wasn't public or not, but RuPaul should not be doing press ever. She thinks she's really good at it. She thinks she's really good at it.
RuPaul thinks she's really good at a lot of things.
Well, that's true. But she's really not. Every time she does press, she gets herself in trouble. So in the New Yorker article, I didn't read the thing, but the one I do know that came out was about the bunker. And she's building a bunker, which is so funny. I think when Ronan Farrow asked a question, it seemed like such a ridiculous question. But she's building a bunker on her property in Montana, I think is where it is. Because she's convinced with the rise of hate and violence and the sort of political discourse that there's going to be some sort of like war. Civil war. She wants to be able to hide from it. And so she's building herself a bunker. What are your thoughts on this, Robert Mata?
Well, first of all, is RuPaul even going to be alive long enough to make use of this fucking bunker? And it's not even really like she's an old ass bitch joke, but it's just like if you're gearing up for a alleged percolating social war over gay people or concerned about climate change, neither of those things are probably going to come to pass in the next 20, 30 years. And I think that's about as much time as Ru has among us. So it seems like she just has so much excess money that, and no one to inherit it, that it just, she's just going to use it on whatever silly venture she heard about while doing lines with bitches in West Hollywood.
There is this thing where, and I'm sure for some reason, I feel like you'll know the name of this. This is something that's kind of top of my head. I don't think their thought originates with me, but I've seen this in my real life. And RuPaul is a perfect example. No, not my real life, which is people think that because someone has either financial success or success in something else, that therefore they must know about everything. So like I know people who just because the person's rich, people think that whatever their opinion is on something must be valid because they're rich or they got wealthy. And I think people think that RuPaul must know something because she's been successful on television and made some money for herself. This bitch don't know shit, right?
I wouldn't trust RuPaul's opinion on anything except those immediately related to drag.
Yes. But there are a lot of kids who don't think that. They think that she knows everything about everything. And
Well, they're easily influenced.
So going back to what I was talking about, people should know, like, all the negative stories we've heard about RuPaul, the vast majority of them, if you heard of them, came out of her own mouth. So she,
No one asked you to talk about that drowning man.
Yeah, no one asked her to talk about the drowning man. She did try and skirt by on the fracking, but there were some, you know, savvy people in the audience who knew what she was talking about. And then remember the whole thing, too, where, like, they asked her about women, cisgendered women and trans women being on the show, and she was very opposed to it, and then that caused a huge firestorm?
Of course, of course.
All these things, anything negative, it's RuPaul says it. When she goes and does interviews, even though this is rather funny, remember the time when she scared the shit out of Jimmy Fallon and
drag queen, Like drag queen,
yeah, drag queen, and you could see just like the blood drain from his face,
the last vestiges of color in Jimmy Kimmel's face,
and like so, she's just not good at these interviews. She really, really, really thinks she is. Now, did you hear about this Allstora, the bookstore, online bookstore she co-founded?
The dropshipping scandal?
What did you say?
The dropshipping scandal?
The dropshipping scandal. Did you hear about this?
Of course. I haven't looked too much into it because, like most things, I saw the headline, read a little bit, and was like, okay, well, like I said earlier, rich people getting a venture passed along with them alongside a line of Coke, and then they just make stupid decisions. That's all this was.
Yeah, and the CEO came out with a statement. What's so funny is there were several like accusations levied against Allstora, but the CEO just addressed one, which was that the fact they were selling... You know, you could get any book on there. Mein Kampf or like, you know.
You weren't born this way.
Yeah. Any kind
which
of
which I might kind of want to read.
Yeah. I want to read it too. Maybe I'll become less gay. And I would do that. I should do a show where we go through one of these books and try them out and see if maybe we become straight.
It's always good to know what the enemy's saying, I guess, but is it? But again, am I trying to foment social war? I don't think so. Does RuPaul need that bunker? Should I get a bunker?
So, you know, I've known and I know a couple of gays, two or three gays, who they're gays, right? They love men. They are attracted to men. But they hate penises and assholes, right? And I think on the gradient, they might be easier to convert back, right? If you already have a hatred for the genitals of men in a sexual way, if you can do it, they would be the ones. It can't happen to me. I love dick too much.
I worked on a show called that.
I'm going to start a show called I Love Dick Too Much. Okay. I love penis so much. I think they're beautiful. I think they're attractive.
In all their many forms.
And you know what's so funny, Robert? It's funny that you say that. In all their many forms. Yes.
Yes. Well, I feel like you put a lot of density when you said really blasé that some gay men don't like dicks and ass. And then you said, right. And that was like the most dense right I've ever heard because my answer is not right. I'm not there with you. Can you explain what do you mean? There are gay men who don't like dicks and asses.
I'm with you. I don't understand it, but they've told me that they don't find penises attractive. They don't find asses attractive. So I'm not really quite sure why they're gay. That's what I'm saying. If you're going to do a test subject for changing people back, which I, by the way, personally think is impossible. But if we're going to do a real experiment on this, it would be with them.
Maybe. I mean, there's still man thighs and there's still chest and other kinds of features of the male form that they're probably attracted to.
True. No, and you could be
I'd say I'm more attracted to that more often than dick or ass.
I don't know. It's hard for me because I love dick so much. I'm very like, how could you not like those, right? And so it's very, like, I've seen some penis, I'm not even lying, where, like, I literally salivate.
That's me anytime I think about habanero peppers.
Oh, you love habanero peppers?
I just think they're the greatest thing ever. And I'm literally gleeking right now because the second my brain comes up with the concept, my mouth fills with water.
I'm telling you, that's who I am with penises. I'm not even being funny.
I'm not being funny either.
I don't think they necessarily taste good or something like that. I don't know. I don't consume them. I don't know.
I don't know either. I mean, like, I'm not saying that I've never experienced that feeling, but I think food brings that out of me a little bit more.
And food does for me too, but I don't know why penises do it too.
Well, why not? Your Pavlovian response to a hard dick is to like get it wet.
That maybe you're right, because that's what I'm telling you, these books would not work on me. They wouldn't work on me.
I don't think they work on anyone except for people who are literally just looking for any kind of excuse to.
I agree with you. I'm saying it's impossible for me. That if we're going to try it as an experiment, though, those people should be the ones who try it. That's what I'm saying. Anyway, for people who don't know, yeah, so there was this thing. But the other controversy was that they're charging more than even the retailer prices. And how much are they really splitting with the author?
Because then they're pretending that you're a good person by supporting queer-owned literature.
Yeah. So anyway, so the CEO made a comment, and I'm just like, this RuPaul's always getting, again, people think she's a good businesswoman. Okay, let's think about all the great ventures she's gone into. This bookstore, the chocolate bar, the stupid shoes.
Drag you,
you know, change a lot of lives.
It really was a rough spot.
Yeah, it was a rough spot. Which is funny, because I think if they brought back Drag You in a real meaningful way, it could be a hit show again. I think it was the wrong time, wrong hosts. I don't think RuPaul was good on it.
Well, I think much like Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, at least in recent years, that's kind of like gay content made for straight people. And I feel like Drag Race's audience is, you know, obviously there are tons of gays, but it doesn't really feel like it's made for gay people anymore. Yeah. And I think a Drag You would allow them to capitalize on that kind of market more.
Well, the thing, here's the deal with Drag You. Here's it, make it great gay content. The reason Drag You or Queer Eye, and I know Queer Eye and this iteration has changed this, but I want one focused solely on sloppy gay men like me. So it should really be gay men who are really good at fashion making over hopeless gay people, lesbians or gays or whoever, all across the spectrum, and to go in the gay life. Fuck the straight people. Can you imagine a show
where... Well, that's We're Here, isn't it?
Oh, that's right. We're Here is that. And that's why people like that show. Anyway. So, do you have any thoughts on any of this RuPaul stuff?
Like the show or the person?
Both. Well, no, we'll go to the show after the break.
Okay. Like I said off top, I just don't look to RuPaul for anything other than pithy aphorisms about, like, you know, loving yourself and inner saboteur bullshit. And even then, all that faux psychology nonsense is very easily logically sort of refuted. So I don't trust anything that come out of this bitch's mouth. And even during drag, listening to her critiques, I'm often like, yeah, that's a different sensibility than I have. So I can't take her word worth shit. So I'm not going to be like, oh my God, this is crazy that RuPaul's involved in yet another shady ass venture, because in my mind, of course, that makes perfect sense for the person that RuPaul has proven herself to be.
I want everyone in the audience, and I'm in so much trouble right now. So Robert's made a very note. He hates when I don't give him notes on what to talk about today.
Well, we'll talk about that in a minute.
And so I could not think of what to fucking talk about today. Could not, even up until, we record at 5, up until like 4, I couldn't think of anything. So I finally messaged this Robert, and I'm like, listen, I can't think of anything. But yet, strangely, then rattled off all the topics we're talking about right now. And I think he's mad that he wasn't able to prep this. Is this true, Robert?
No, it's not true. When I talked about the prepping thing, it was not a direct ask saying, hi, Joe, I need a skeleton or outline 8 hours before the show so I can mull topics over. I was just saying that at times when I start rambling, it's because I'm not prepped at all. And therefore, I am trying to find my point while also saying my point.
But just, the person
just
who
an explanation, not a request.
The person who accused you of rambling, why are you buying into it? There's an obvious anti-intellectualism with him. The fact that
I don't know if that's true.
The fact that he didn't understand what you're saying means that, oh, well, you're the wrong one because he didn't understand it.
Well, I'm also saying that I listen back and am very judgmental and critical about myself and the things that I say. So in explaining it to him, I was also reaffirming it to myself. I was reassuring myself.
What do you think about RuPaul giving up the Down Under hosting spot?
I think that it's Michelle's hosted guest spots on a number of other shows, Canada, I think UK once, and she's always done a great job, and she's such a mainstay of the franchise that I don't think the show will be worse off for it at all.
I think it'll be better off for it, because I think Michelle, I was saying this in a private thread, I think Michelle would be, if she's not already immersed herself in the Australian culture, would be willing to. Whereas I feel RuPaul has very much a typical American, like, I'm an American, cater to me kind of attitude. And so the queens can't do Snatch Game characters that she doesn't know off the top of her head. And so I think this will lend better for the show for Australia.
It hopefully also means that we'll have more Australian cultural, you know, people on the panel rather than, like, Reese is great, but there's always room for more.
Yeah. And I think they've said they're going to have former contestants as guest judges.
That'll
be good. Yeah. All right. Why don't we do this, everybody? We're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to talk about the latest Drag Race episode. And we're going to talk about UK versus the World Season 2 episode. I don't know what. I don't even know what they're on right now. We'll be back right after this. We are back. First, let's talk about Drag Race, RuPaul's Drag Race, the flagship season, the flagship show. Work the World is the title, even though it had nothing really to do with the Work the World tour. Robert, did you have any thoughts on the episode? You know, you've listened to the recap show, you watched the episode. Any big thoughts?
Well, to make this about me, I listened on the recap. Towards the beginning, you said something about defending me and Christian about something, and you told me that we would discuss it here.
Yeah.
What
not
is that?
Not defend, fight for. I said I fought for you guys.
About what?
So, on Just Between Us Girls, I got to tell you more specific things off the air, but on Just Between Us Girls, which you can get, by the way, at patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia at the executive level and above.
Plug it, girl.
Adam Solandra works for a media outlet, okay? And they have a big awards show tomorrow. And I was giving him, some of the business, if you will, on the Just Between Us Girls, because I was like, how are you, Christian and myself, not invited to this event?
What? Why would we go there?
I just said we should go.
It could be camp for sure.
Yeah. And he goes, well, I only get one ticket, which is not true. I've seen the previous social media. He's been working there for years.
Damn.
It's always him and all his friends, right? I didn't say anything on the show. And he goes, I only get one ticket, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, okay, right? So then I brought it up again. I made a joke about it on the show.
Uh-huh.
Where I said, why he hasn't, because he told us it's not my choice, it's editorial, yada yada yada. And so I made a joke like that on the show where he was, why hasn't he been a guest co-host more? And I said it wasn't my choice, it wasn't my decision.
Oh, I hear you.
It was editorial decision. And then that's when I said, Christian and Robert, I fought for you guys.
Got it. I thought there was an altercation of some kind that I missed out on. I really wanted to get some inside tea.
I was trying to get us tickets to that event and
so that you can spit in guest Ken Worthy's face.
Look, here's a deal. I know Gus Ken Worthy is very your type.
He's not, actually.
weird. He's like a muscular, basic white guy.
Yeah, but I have like additional specifications on that that Gus Kenworthy does not fulfill. Gus Kenworthy looks like he smells, and he's kind of gruff, and his desperation for fame like emanates off of him in such a way that I can't even think of him as attractive.
I could see that. I could see that. Yeah. Okay. I'm with you on that. He is desperate for fame. It's really sad. But I do want to hire his publicist, which I came with it because I've been teasing Adam Salandra about Gus Kenworthy. And I've said, oh, I got to hire his publicist. And I was like, wait a minute. The solution is to have Gus Kenworthy on the show.
This one?
Not Rulaska thought. Come on, let's be fair. He has the Rulaska down. I don't know what show I'd have him on, but to have, you know, then people would be like, what? But the problem is it's not a video podcast. If you can't see Gus Kenworthy, well, what's the point?
I don't know. You seem to find a way to talk about him anyway, so.
Because it makes me very angry. It makes me, because I think.
I say that after I brought him up today.
Yeah, it makes me, Gus Kenworthy makes me angry because I feel that there are a lot of worthy gay people in entertainment. And by the way, not just, I'm even down for thirst traps. Don't get me wrong. I'm down for thirst traps. But what else do you do, mama? You know, so like, who would be a thirst trap that I'd be okay with? Well, I brought up Luke McFarlane. I don't know if that was on Just Between Us Girls or not. But like, you know, somebody who's like doing something else. But what does Gus Kenworthy do? What does he do?
Is he a skier?
But doesn't he retire from that now? He's too old.
I don't know. I'm not interested.
I think he was a snowboarder.
Okay.
So like, I just want like somebody who's hot and does something. And the amount of press he gets for what? I don't know. I don't know. And it gets me so angry that this, I almost said the name of the organization or the outlet. The outlet covers him so much. Now, I will say, I've been told, I won't say by who, that he agrees with me, but that every postseason gets a ton of clicks.
Of course, that's the only thing that matters. That's the literal only thing that matters.
It's just very frustrating. And here's the deal. I blame myself, too. Luckily, Gus Kenworthy isn't for me, but I'm sure if there was a... I can't think of anybody right now. I would click on it. Oh, you know what? I don't know why. I know why. I will click on anything Justin Bieber. I do not know why. I mean, what? I know why. But what do I think I'm going to see that's so interesting?
I have no idea. It's actually hilarious because I would laugh and say like, oh yeah, Joe's the type to like Justin Bieber, but I never would actually think it's true.
I don't like Justin Bieber.
Then why are you clicking, mama?
I don't know. I just said I don't know why. Well, same thing with Prince Harry. If there's anything Prince Harry, I will click on it. You know what?
Weird.
I think I know what it is with
You're
Justin
weird,
Bieber.
Girl.
Yeah, I know what it is with Justin Bieber. This is so weird. Okay.
Yeah, I said that.
There's a part of me that thinks there's a really good person in there.
Okay, that's insane.
And that he has been, like, how do I put it? That he's been famous since he was a child, you know? And that when you're that famous and that powerful when you're a child, you lose all sense of what's right and wrong, what's up and down, and that he's lost. Okay?
Okay.
And that he's just surrounded by...
You're doing a lot.
And that he's surrounded by these yes men. Okay. And that he just... You know, I'll be honest with you. I was so... Do you remember this story? I remember this story because it's so random and weird. But there was a time my friend Michael had come to visit me.
Okay.
And we, of course, as most time I do on tours, I took him to Runyon Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
Took him to Runyon Canyon, whatever, we leave. And I think it was like 2 or 3 days later, not long afterward, a week later, 2 weeks later, some very close. There was a story in the news. I don't know if you saw this, but the paparazzi got this photo of Bieber on a run in Runyon Canyon or whatever he was doing. And at the very top of the canyon was just some schlubby guy sitting down enjoying the view at the top of the trail.
Where is this going?
And Bieber just sat with him and talked to him. He didn't know this guy for like an hour. And the press was like, what did he talk about? What's going on? Why is he talking to this man? And he talked to him for like an hour. And then he left. And I don't know who the guy was. No one knows who the guy was, right? And I was like, I wish I would have been that guy.
I feel like you also would have wanted to be working at the grocery store that shut down so that Michael Jackson could have a real life person experience by looking through cereals.
100%. 100% I would have been want to be that guy. Even though, and I think I've said this in other shows, but maybe not on this show. I will openly say this. Michael Jackson's an idiot. Because if he, because when I was 13, when he was in that weird transition, he was still looked normal. I would have 100% had sex with him and told no one. And I don't know why he didn't hit me. I should have written him a letter and been like, I will have sex with you. I just want to have sex with you. I won't tell anybody.
For what? Just for your own, for your own pleasure?
I'm going to tell you something. When I was like, I don't know why I'm whispering this.
Because I think you're about to say a very young age.
Oh, very young. Like,
girl.
When I first started masturbating, I used to masturbate to the Michael Jackson black and white video.
I have never in my entire life ever heard anything like that.
Well, now you just heard it.
I know. Thank you for that. I did not expect all this on a Monday.
Yeah. So he could have gotten it and I would have told no one.
Now, but then a couple of years later, you would have been on the Neverland lawsuits.
Oh, no, I wouldn't have. Because they would have never happened. He would have been with me. Well, he probably been with me for like 3 years and then dumped me. But
what a fantasy. That's so fucking crazy. It's like me looking at Scott Evans in the Oscar performance yesterday. I'm like, that is my man. And then fantasizing my future.
That's right. You have this thing for him, huh?
Sort of.
How can you not make that happen?
Because I don't try. I'm a Venus flytrap.
Oh, I think you've told me you don't try. All right. So anyway, okay. So apart from that part of the recap, what other thoughts did you have on the recap?
Yeah. Episode? So the actual show, the real matter at hand. I actually saw this one at a bar. I would, in past years, had gone to the bars, but that's not really what my social life is gearing towards right now. But I did it this time. And so it was good to have a performance challenge in the bar surrounded by gays giving their very qualified critiques of runways and performance things. So it was a good time, but I hate non-elimination episodes. And yeah, the whole immunity potion nonsense was just so contrived and ultimately senseless that it was kind of a wet fart. And the lip sync was also kind of a wet fart. So not the best episode, but I'm always happy when Safira does well. So I guess a net positive there.
What are your thoughts on this Dawn? I expressed a lot of hatred for Dawn this episode.
She doesn't really bug for me, but I think that's because I'm used to the East LA, Brooklyn. I'm kind of a hipster, but I'm not. But I'm open-minded, but I'm also hyper-judgmental archetype, you know? Mm-hmm. So I recognize the person. I don't love the person, but I don't think she's like this twisted evil demon twink like y'all have been making her out to be.
Oh,
she's
just
the same as everyone else in that perspective.
Didn't that then bother you with the whole like, oh my God, did I just say that?
It's annoying. But it's as equally annoying as Q making the most low-hanging fruit sex joke in a confessional and then busting up and falling out of the chair like she's fucking told the funniest thing ever.
I did this visual on the show, but I'll show it to you. But why does she talk like she? Because she has some semblance of lift, but she makes it even less. Because she like, what is this thing where she talks like? Once you see him, kind of doing. You know, the closest I could think of is the old SNL character Pat used to make this face too.
Okay,
but Q's always like, "Come on, girl, what?" I'm like, what is this face she's making?
I think it's possible that we don't see a lot of young people with the amount of work that she's had done. So yes, we're not used to seeing someone try to emote like that.
Yeah, I think someone said that. I think Solandra might have said that too, that she's had so much work done that that's the most. You know, a friend convinced me to get Botox on my forehead, right? And I got it one time. Mm-hmm. And the reason I didn't get it again was I noticed that the top corner of my forehead, because this wasn't moving, it started to like move like this.
Okay.
It was trying to compensate for whatever wasn't happening in the middle of my forehead. And so maybe that's sort of the thing that's happening. Okay, UK versus the World 2, the latest episode that was called The Seven or something like that, or Seven. And it was a takeoff on the musical The Six, and they had to do like it was another like what do you call those songs where you brag about yourself?
Branding challenges.
Yeah, well,
kind of thing. I guess it's not a, sorry, yeah, branding is not the right word. It's branding with your verse songwriting.
Yeah, about yourself, how
girl
you
group
are.
Performance nonsense.
Yeah. And I want to get your thoughts on the episode first. So just so you guys, people who don't watch, Marina Summers and Tia Coffey were in the top. Tia again for like the second or third week in a row. And then in the bottom were Gothy Kendall and Chariza May. What did you think?
Well, I love that we just talked about Q's mouth, because almost all of the successful reads during the reading challenge were about everyone's mouths, like Marina Summers' big ass fucking teeth and all other sorts of things that I just thought it was interesting, but funny and a good time, because I guess we focus on mouths a lot more than I thought we did, or maybe it was just a mouthy week. Anyways, and I really love Self-Esteem, the person.
Oh, the person. Yeah. The guest judge was a person named Self-Esteem.
Who was very clearly, she was almost Lux Noir London level of, let me spit out as many possible somewhat obscure Drag Race references while having a normal human conversation with someone. But also like with a very infectious energy and super supportive. And I liked her a lot.
So during the performance, I want to get your thoughts on this. Gothy Kendall completely forgot her choreography. And just sort of openly, in a rather endearing and iconic way, gave up. She's just like, I'm done. And what did you think of this, Robert?
It sounded... who can be surprised at that? You know, I feel like she said one of the craziest things anyone has ever said last week when Tia Coffey asked, are you going to kick it up next week? Are we going to see the Gothy that the judges want to see? Are you going to actually try? And she dead ass just said, no, I don't think so. Like it's very uncomfortable waiting for them to just finally put her out of her misery, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, there was something similar that happened on Canada season 4 with this queen named the Girlfriend Experience. And she would do like an improv challenge or just a regular mini challenge and then just start busting up halfway through and literally be incapable of completing the rest of the assignment or mini challenge. And like she did it like 3 times before she finally got kicked off.
Oh.
But because she's pretty... Oh. People forgave her and thought it was endearing. Much like with Gothy, because she's pretty, people will think it's endearing and cute and aw, look at this, you know, cow who can't walk yet.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think it's endearing and cute and kind of iconic.
I don't know. As I have recently come out as an anxious person, Gothy Kendall's anxiety vibrations are sending me through the television. So I'm glad she's gone, to be honest with you.
I'm glad she's gone because there was a certain point where it's like, okay, you're really bad. But it was very, I'm glad she lived another week for her to see her just go like at the very end, just go sit down in her mark, and just be done. It was just kind of great. So it almost reminded me of watching like a your niece's or your daughter's like first grade performance, you know, and the kids don't know what they're doing. It kind of looked like that. Did the right person win? Did the right person go home?
Yeah, I think Marina fucking killed it, and she looked amazing in that yellow jumpsuit. That's probably not the exact proper word, but she looked amazing in that lip sync. She performed incredibly. I think that Marina has everything that it takes to win it all, and I think RuPaul sees that as well, so that's exciting.
I was telling Robert, because in the middle of the lip sync, I said, she is eating, and I go, she does not win this thing. I will not cover the rest of the season. And she did. She won. And but I was even thinking later, I was like, the U.S. drag queen should be lucky that she can't compete in the U.S.
Well, we don't know that. She might be able to for an all-star season if she doesn't win this one, kind of like Jimbo did.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Yeah, they'd be in trouble. They'd be in big trouble.
I mean, and we would be better off for it, I think. Like, obviously, yeah. Mourinho has a clear mastery of the English language, so it's not like we would have any issues there either. And I think her drag is so universally well-regarded that she would do great on the American franchise.
Yeah. I did want to ask you about... I saw something on Reddit that I don't watch Spain, but they had a reunion recently, and... something happened with somebody and they were making a statement. What happened? What happened to this reunion, Robert?
Are you talking about Sagittaria?
Yes.
So this is going to be spoilers for the whole Drag Race Spain All-Star season.
Okay, wait, hold on for a second. Hold on.
Yeah, give the
we're
going to
bring this out of retirement. All right, guys. Here's your warning. We're about to do some spoilers. So if you don't want to hear spoilers, get the fuck out! All right, go ahead.
So, Sagittaria is a runner-up from season one of Drag Race.
Yes,
and I remember. Drag set list was about a late mid-out from season two of Drag Race, but clearly cut before her time because she's super fucking talented. They didn't really have much beef throughout the season until the ball, when Drag set list was given a win for a look that I think most Drag Race longtime fans would recognize was under par for the category. And because her second prepared look from home was said to be such a phenomenal, amazing story and presentation, that they gave Sethless the win for that. And Sagittaria, being in a number of other looks and being a look queen, really thought that she deserved that win, and that production is clearly favoring Sethless at any opportunity. I think Sethless has 4 wins out of 5. I could be getting the numbers slightly mixed on that. But the point is, she's won nearly every week, and Sagittaria hasn't won shit. And so in the last couple of episodes, Sagittaria started to really call out production more or less explicitly during Untucked, and told Sethless, "I'm sorry, but like, your look was not winner worthy in my eye." And everyone listening, including Sethless, basically took that to mean, "You're just being a bratty little kid and having a fit, and anything that you say doesn't have any bearing. We're not going to actually listen to the merit of your critique because you're just being petulant." And so in future, the next episode, Sagittaria wasn't sent home yet, they really just, everyone kept kind of poking Sagittaria and asking her, "How are you feeling? Are you still in a bad mood? Oh, it's so hard to work with her because she's so upset that she's not being favored, and they think she says it Sethless is." And it's just been a whole, like, cast has really latched onto this narrative that Sagittaria can't be right about what she's saying because she's young and pretty and isn't getting praised.
Oh, yes. I remember. Didn't she kind of name herself because Aquaria?
That is a part of it, yeah. Not a part of this scandal, but her drag.
And she's a really hot... She's hot as a boy, too, isn't she?
Yeah, she's not bad, yeah. If you're into twinks, which you are, so... But anyway, so she eventually did get eliminated, and everyone more or less said... She actually tried to leave when it was announced that she was in the bottom, but the hostess says, "No, your competitors have to figure that out for you." Which, like... good in both, on both sides. But ultimately, she was chosen to go home, and then she came back the next week because they had to do a voting thing to decide who's going next. Mm-hmm. Everyone continued to shit on her and call her a baby, and then the reunion happened, and once again, everyone continued to shit on her and say that she's been being a little shit and stop trying to take Sethless's moment away from her.
Where do you fall in all this?
I actually think Sagittaria has a point.
Oh, really?
Yes, because I'm saying this also as a fan of Drag Sethless, that Sethless didn't deserve all the wins that she got this season, and most people watching the show can see that. And then, I'm not going to use the word gaslighting, but there has been a concerted effort from the queens to constantly refuse to entertain anything Sagittaria is saying, to the point where it seems off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're like, don't talk shit on the sacred cow of production.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, no doubt Sethless will win the season. If she doesn't, it'll be very strange. But I think the show expected people to probably rally behind Sethless, but the online community has actually rallied around Sagittaria because they can see the bullshit for what it is.
Interesting. Thank you, Robert, for giving us a spoiler-riddled analysis of what's going on Drag Race Spain. Anyway, any other thoughts on anything, Robert?
Well, the second I heard that it was going to be a redemption runway, I said, I think out loud, please let Dia Coffee.
The world too, yeah.
Yes, uh-huh. Yes, yes. Please let Dia Coffee do her pterodactyl look. Uh-huh. Like, I think it's such a funny look. And she did. And unfortunately, it's not funny anymore. Now it's just the good pterodactyl look. But I'll always have the bad pterodactyl look to chuckle about. And I also really appreciated that Hannah Conda did the Dykes on Bikes look, okay, which really does continue to remind me how very little lesbian representation we get on the show, despite allegedly being a show for all queer people.
Yes, I feel lesbians do get sort of ignored for how much they did for us during the whole AIDS crisis.
Which, maybe this is crazy, but don't you think it's insane that it even has to be qualified like that?
What do you mean?
Like, I think I hear that sentiment, and I don't mean to say that you meant anything negative by it, but I often hear we need to support lesbians because they supported the gay community in the 80s AIDS crisis, and I don't think that that has to be a transactional, justifiable cycle of, you know, we support you because you support us. Like, I think it's instead the LGBTQ.
Do you think that's a sentiment, or is it more?
I think that it's framed in that way so often that I've started to think, like, why does it have to be qualified like that? Why can't we just say there definitely needs to be more lesbian representation than say because they did so much in the 80s? I find it a weird thing.
I wish you would have told me you were going to bring this up because I need to prepare myself before I say these kind of things. But
now you know how it feels.
Yeah. What I will say is I think the sentiment for me at least is not in that way, but more, it's not transactional like that, but more like what a shame it is that they have been so, you know, the thing is that like, even in where you would think that this would not be existent, there is rampant misogyny in the world of gay men. And so that lesbians are often relegated to the back and ignored in the conversation about gay rights. It's often focused on gay men. And so it's more of a castigation of gay men that how dare you do this? Because when they didn't need to do this in the 80s, they helped us. Mm-hmm. And why are we doing this to them? This is the only reason I have Lori on the show is for this. I wasn't going to have Lori on the show.
To thank her for her work in the 80s?
Yeah, Lori used, there was a bit of a problem. She used to do Meals on Wheels.
Of course.
People think.
And I know what you're about to say.
She was eating half the meals.
Yes. Oh, you're so clever.
It was really embarrassing.
When she got there, it was just wheels.
Yeah. When she got there, it was just wheels. But the gay men weren't eating much anyway. So it worked itself out.
That is true.
Yeah. So that's what it was. Is they wouldn't eat them, and then she wanted people to feel good, so she'd eat the food for them.
So the cooks could feel good about themselves.
Yeah. So they like that it was happening.
And so much charitable.
The gay men wanted to
done.
Watch her eat the food.
Oh.
You know?
Like a Nico fetish. Avocado?
Mm-hmm. So, all right, Robert, anything else? You know, this is supposed to be a half hour show, right?
I know, but we started talking about dumb shit for like the first 45 minutes that, you know,
but that's,
what are we going to do?
That's always what we do.
I know. I don't know why I pretend to be surprised.
Yeah, you always act like, I don't know how we're going to fill this time. Like, ugh.
No, I have never once said, I don't know how we're going to fill the time. Like, you will say that at the beginning of any show, then I'm like, oh, fuck, this definitely means we're going to be talking for the next hour and a half.
Lori says the same thing, too, because sometimes I'll be like, I don't know, girl. I don't know how this is going to be, you know, a regular show. And then it goes if I say that, it's going to go for 2 hours.
Exactly. That is the signifier.
I think it's kind of like the Oscars, actually, in the opposite way. Is the Oscars yesterday, they were like, oh my God, we got to keep going. They cut off the Japanese people who were speaking in Japanese. And like, while the Japanese people were speaking about their dead friend, they cut them off.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, at the end, they were short. And they're like, oh, we got to kill time.
Well, probably in part because I can't remember who was presenting, but they completely skipped reading off the list of nominees.
Oh, Al Pacino.
Yeah. I mean, I can't pretend I was watching the Oscars that hard. I was at the bar, honestly, flirting most of the evening. But
with whom?
Just random people. It's actually a good time.
I would love to see what these people look like.
Huh?
I want to see what these people look like.
I think they are a higher age than you might expect based on what you've told me about what you think my type is.
Why would I be surprised by a higher age? I think you said before that you like older guys.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Then never mind.
Like, don't you thirst after this Mike Ruiz?
Yeah, I guess. I haven't thought about him in a really long time, though.
Yeah. So, I'm not surprised. I know you like older guys. Okay. Any other news? I mean, look, I'm glad you like older guys. Because, look, not in talking about you, but I obviously like younger guys. So, we need to know that there are younger guys who like older guys. That makes sense?
Well, that's for sure. I was talking with one of my friends who's explicitly not into older guys. And I'm like, you do realize that you're going to age and you are going to be dating older men at some point in your life. Mm-hmm. Why not take solace in the fact that they're hot now and they're going to be hot then? Mm-hmm. And his explanation is, oh, we'll all be the same age at the same time. And I'm like, I don't think that's how it's going to work, mama. But who knows?
Who knows? Who knows?
But I've always been into guys on the... as a young gay, I was always into guys on the other side of 25. And then now that I'm 31, I prefer guys on the higher end of 30 and above. So, yeah.
For everyone thinking that Robert's just hinting that he wants to date me.
You're on the higher end of 30?
You're probably right. And I've known this for a while. It's a little awkward because he's too old for me. We'll see you guys.
So real.
We'll see you guys next week on Relaska Thoughts.